Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I have an interview with LA's Lebelski coming up as a feature for tonight's show. I will get to that shortly, but first, let's check out this week's track of the week. This one comes from Calgary's John Delirious and was released over the past few weeks on Nordic Tracks. This has a beautiful Sunny Days feel. This is the Delirious dub of Can't Hold Back. That is a really great track there from John Delirious. If you enjoyed that, you can check it out on Nordic Tracks. On to the feature for tonight's show. I was incredibly fortunate to be able to connect with Lebelski, a DJ and producer, in advance of the release of his latest track, Passion Fruits, which came out on Crosstown Rebels this past Friday the 26th. And that track features on the second track of this part of the interview. Full track list and a collection of Lebelski web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Enjoy this, and I'll be back in a bit. Okay, this is DJ Waugh speaking to LA-based DJ and producer Lebelski. Over the past decade, he's been producing, DJing, and working to build his reputation throughout the U.S. at clubs like Sound in L.A., Bar Standard in Denver, and Floyd in Miami. He's featured at several Desert Hearts and Dirty Bird live and online events. To add to this, he's been released on a number of iconic labels, such as Super Freak, Dirty Bird, Deep Perfect, and Desert Hearts, amongst others. And Billboard magazine recently touted him as an emerging artist to watch for, and his star is definitely on the rise. So it's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Lebelski. To begin with, how would you define your sound?
I feel like I'm a bit all over the place with what I like. I just get bored with one sound. So I like to think of it as like just eclectic house music, just kind of pulling influences from all over, anything from minimal, deep house, tech house, a little bit of techno sprinkled in there. But I think the one underlying element is just, it's a bit synthy, a bit sampley, and just groove-based eclectic house music.
Is there anything about life and living on the West Coast that inspired you to produce this type of music?
You know, I've lived on the West Coast my entire life. I feel like there is a sort of West Coast sound, but I pull my influences from all over the world, so it's not really, I wouldn't say it's West Coast influence.
Thank you. Did you have any early musical training that helped you out as you got interested in producing electronic music?
Yes, definitely. I played guitar since I was a kid. I know a bit of almost every instrument. I can play guitar, bass, drums, dabble with the keys. I used to play like trombone and cello and like orchestra in middle school and elementary school and that sort of thing. But these days, I'm definitely more of a guitarist, keyboardist.
Are you self-taught on all of that, or is that actually stuff you took lessons in?
Completely self-taught in like drums and piano and stuff like that. I had a few teachers growing up for guitar, but most of the stuff that I learned was just like by learning other people's songs and learning how to play solos and that sort of thing.
Can you tell me about the clubs you cut your teeth in and what the experience of building up your reputation in LA was like?
When I was going to school in Santa Cruz, California, I played some of my first shows at clubs like The Catalyst in Santa Cruz and had a few places I played at pretty regularly in San Francisco, like Temple, Audio SF, DNA Lounge. Yeah, but I used to throw a lot of my own shows in Santa Cruz. I was one of the very few house music promoters at the time. It's a very bass music-oriented city. A lot of guys like G. Jones came up through there. I think I really learned what it meant to be a promoter in that city and what really goes into putting on a show, everything from the promotion to the production and all that. It wasn't until I moved to LA that I changed my DJ name, because my previous alias was actually taken by a Puerto Rican rapper who shall remain unnamed. But yeah, I kind of really cut my teeth in the warehouse scene in downtown LA for the most part, and would play shows at places like Sound Nightclub, which you mentioned, and played a bit all over, like Spy Bar in Chicago, Shemansky, New York, and the Brooklyn Mirage. I've played every room at Space, the Terrace, and Floyd. Played pretty much all over the U.S., and it's just kind of as a natural progression, pretty gradual, going to bigger clubs like that.
Can you tell me when you realized that this was no longer just a hobby or a passion, and when you realized it was actually a legitimate career that you could make a living off of?
I don't think there was ever a time where I didn't think it wasn't going to be my career. I've always made music. I've always done it. I've had maybe two real jobs in my entire life. I worked at a surf shop. I've worked in PR, and that's about it. But yeah, I've seriously only done music my whole life, and I have worked for record labels doing A&R and label management for a while, but it's pretty much just full-time artist stuff right now. And I get pretty bored with one thing at a time, so I keep it pretty eclectic. I like to do other things like art and fashion and stuff like that.
Okay.
But I think I'll always be a musical artist at heart. This is deep within my soul. At the
there's a spirit that dwells.
Okay, so you mentioned this earlier before we interviewed, but with COVID altering the live performance aspect of the past year, how have you come up with alternative ways to share your music and mixes with clubbers, and how has the whole experience been as a performer?
I really miss the dance floor. I really do. The Twitch stuff has helped and to stay connected with our audiences and stuff. It's pretty incredible how that happened too. Just like almost every DJ and their mother decided to start doing DJ sets on Twitch, and it's really interesting to see with, you know, big companies like Insomniac and Beatport moving that direction as well. I personally have played DJ sets on streams to, you know, 25,000 concurrent viewers at a time with over 4 million people like over the course of the night and stuff. Nothing really beats like smiling faces and like a sweaty dance floor for me. Lately, I just, when I do Twitch stuff, it's mostly just production stuff, really, either in the form of just like showing new music or going over tracks of mine, starting new beats, or yeah, that's pretty much it.
what is the current live performance setup that you use for DJing? So are you digital, CDJ, do you just still use vinyl or anything like that?
When I travel and play, no, I don't think I've really done many vinyl sets. When I first started DJing, I started out on vinyl. I just had my parents' like massive record collection. I just learned how to spin on that. But it's really just so much easier rocking up with a couple of USBs and, you know, industry standard setup like the DJM 900 Nexus and the DJM V10. Great mixers. I also like the Zone 92, and then CDJ 2000 Nexus 2s are pretty amazing. But I'm easy going. I'll work with whatever they got. But obviously, the CDJ 3000s and the V10 are just top tier, in my opinion.
So when you are programming a set, how do you approach that? Do you have you mostly play snippets of tracks, or you play back to back? And how much of your sets are sort of planned in advance?
I rarely plan a set in advance. Maybe if it's like a really big show, like Desert Hearts Festival, for example, I'll come out with a bunch of like special edits that I've made. But I don't think I ever plan a set out. Well, I just usually say like, okay, here's a bunch of new music I found. Here's a bunch of my own new music. And I just go from there and I try to feed off the energy.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. That was the first half of my interview with Lebelski. Full track list for the interview and a collection of Lebelski web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. On to part two of the interview. When you are producing, which DAW do you work with?
I know a bit of everything, but Ableton's my main one. Started off with Reason and Logic and Pro Tools, and I've I know a bit about Cubase and Studio One and a few others, but Ableton is just really amazing. Very incredible tool.
Okay. And then within Ableton, are you using their VSTs or their plugins, or are you using external stuff as well?
I have a lot of analog gear. I've got the Dave Smith Sequential Circuits Prophet 6. I've got the OB6. I've got a Moog Sub-37. I've got a large modular rig. I've got turntables in here for sampling vinyl, an analog drum synthesizer by Vermona, some outboard effects as well, like the Sherman Filter Bank. But I use a bit of everything. It really just depends on what I'm doing. I try to stick to the Ableton plugins as much as I can, just for the sake of saving my CPU. But there's, Waves, Fab Filter, Isotope, Artoria's boutique plugins that have all the old synthesizers, like the Jupiter and the Juno 106 and all that stuff. So I use everything. Anything I can get my hands on, really.
When you start producing or sitting down to make music, do you typically have a track in mind in your head, or do you just kind of muck around and see where that takes you?
I don't think I've gone into a project with a track in mind unless it's like a remix or an edit. Most of the time, it's happy accidents for me. I go in and I just feel it out. It's like, oh, I like that, and then I rip off of that. So sometimes I'll have like an hour-long jam on my modular rig, or I'll just throw in a bunch of random MIDI notes and just run it through one of my other synthesizers and just see what comes up and just figure it out from there. I'm really a firm believer in treating it more as a discipline as opposed to like when the inspiration strikes. So it's this kind of workflow really works best for me. Okay. To just let it happen, sort of a Jackson Pollock of making house music.
When you started out, what aspect of production was most challenging for you?
I think the mixing aspect of it all still gets me, because there's so many ways to do it. And, you know, having the right speaker set up and the right interface and knowing how to reference your songs and knowing how things are supposed to sound was something that was a very long process for me. I started making house music when I was 14, and I don't think I really started to understand what dance music was supposed to sound like mix-wise until I was maybe 20 or 21.
Last March, on Friday the 13th, you released your album Universal Groove. How did you approach developing an album concept compared to how you would approach making EPs and remixes and things like that?
Well, doing an album was something I'd always wanted to do. I felt like any serious artist has released bodies of work as opposed to just constantly slipping out singles and EPs, which I was very used to. I felt like it was important for me as my development as an artist to do that. I had a lot of collaborative works with vocalists that I felt fit together, and they all kind of circled around some of the same conceptual aspects of each other, like ideas of love and self-love and that sort of thing. And they just kind of fit together, and I felt like it was the right time to do it.
How do you collaborate with a vocalist? Do you have lyrics in mind, or do you let them bring what they have to the mix, or what's your approach?
I feel like that's also really interesting, because I work with vocalists differently depending on who it is. The way I record my own vocals is I might just grab a microphone and just sing a melody, and then or a few different melodies depending on if it's like a chorus or a verse thing or whatever, and then write words to that. And so that's typically my approach. I've worked with vocalists who will refuse to record anything until they have lyrics and melody already there and ready to go. So it really depends on the vocalist, but I do enjoy it when a vocalist comes with their own lyrics and their own ideas as well, because it makes it nice to just work like that. But I also like working on the lyrics and the melody together, so okay, it really depends on who it is. We'll be right back.
Okay, so listening to the Dirty Bird podcast, Claude Von Stroke touted you as the one to watch for in 2021. Yeah. Do you notice a noticeable bump up in online interest and sales when something like that happens?
Yeah, I don't think I'm all that privy to how my presence is changed by stuff like that. I just find anytime someone gives me a shout out is nice. People might hit me up and be like, oh, did you hear this? Or so on and so forth, but I'm constantly making music, so that's really where my head's at.
Girl, you know I love you.
What is your dream club or dream gig?
There's so many. I mean, I absolutely love playing the Terrace at Space. I think if I ever got to a point where I could do like a 16, 20 hour set solo at the Terrace would be incredible. I mean, it's just an amazing club. And as far as festivals go, Desert Hearts Festival is like one of my favorite dance floors in the world. I think a big bucket list for me would be Day Zero, Damien Lazarus's festival. It's huge for me. To play in like Tulum with Damien, like that, Get Lost, or even any of the festivals that happen in like Croatia. One stage festivals are really up there for me. I just think there's such a connectivity with one stage, and like I really started to understand that when I went to Desert Hearts for the first time, where it's one dance floor and everyone's there for the same reason, as opposed to like all these conflicting schedules. And if you go with a group of people, there's always like, oh, I want to see this person or that person with Coachella. Not that playing Coachella is, I mean, Coachella is also obviously a huge bucket list of mine, but the one stage energy is just so much different.
I'm just going to rewind a little bit to your Space comment. What is it about that club that makes it so amazing, especially the Terrace?
it's just so magical when that sunrise hits, and there's still so many people on the dance floor. And Miami is such a microcosm of the U.S. You know, I've heard a lot of people say Miami is basically the Ibiza of the U.S. just because it's like a city that never sleeps. You'll get maybe a dip in the crowd around like 4 a.m. and they'll, or two to 4 a.m. and people are just kind of falling off typically, and then, you know, big after hours crowd will just pop out of nowhere at 6 a.m. and it just stays packed. You know, Miami Music Week is such a thrill to jump into that club and jump out and all that stuff.
name one or two producers or DJs whom you really admire and why.
I really admire Jamie Jones. I feel like that's kind of basic of me to say, but he has such an ear for music in general, just the way that he structures a song, his grooves, and the music he signs is really incredible. I love Damien's ear as well, Damien Lazarus. His new album was really, really amazing. And he's, you know, he's responsible for so many dance music artists' careers. I really respect both of them.
What is your vision for the future of yourself production-wise and also in DJing?
I've got so many things going on. I think with quarantine, it's kind of affected the way I see dance music, just like why make club-friendly music when there's really no clubs to play. So I've kind of taken a dive into indie electronic music a little bit, more kind of a live act sort of thing that would be separate from Lebelski, unless it was a separate alias. But I, like I said earlier, I'm very eclectic with my sound under Lebelski, and I'm constantly trying to push the boundary of what I'm capable of.
Is there anything that you want to promote right now?
Yes, I have my first Crosstown Rebels release on February 26th. It's coming out in the Spirits compilation. Really happy with the way that track turned out. It's with my friend Skylar, who's a phenomenal artist as well, beautiful singer. I had a remix on Music to Dance To on February 19th for Breakbot, Ali Love, and my good friend Nikki Nighttime. And in the next coming months, I'll also be releasing the remix LP to my Universal Groove album, which features tons of amazing artists that I've looked up to for a long time, like Melee, Cutsnake, Doc Martin, Matt Villa, Because of Art, and plenty more.
This has been Lebelski. A selection of Lebelski track can be found on Beatport, Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, and Juno Download. A full list of Lebelski webs links can also be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. So thank you very much for doing this.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure chatting.
I call it transcendence.
Psytrance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
I call it transcendence.
Okay, we're all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. A huge thank you goes out to Lebelski for interviewing in advance of the release of his track Passion Fruits. That was track 2 on the interview. A full track list can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page, along with a large collection of Lebelski web links. The music was distinct, impressive, and definitely worth another listen. If you enjoyed the show and want to check it out again, you can do so again at Apple Podcasts or at CITR.ca under the Techno Progressivo show page. So, what are you waiting for? Up next is going to be Transcendence with Smiley Mike, a 2-hour journey through all things trance. Before we go, let's set the controls in the time machine for this week's track from the past. For this one, let's hop back 8 years in time for one from Montreal-based producer Prince Club. This is called Everybody. Enjoy this, and I'll see you back here in 2 weeks for my interview with local producer Jay Tripwire. Enjoy this, and see you then. Everybody.